Welcome to I Want to Know More, a podcast of Brother Lamar Owen out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. This is the podcast for the first week of June 2024. All right. Before we get into the broadcast today, we're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let every heart pray at this time. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have a broadcast today. And Lord, I appreciate the opportunity to expand into podcasting. You know how difficult this has been for me and how hard it's been and in many ways and how much there's been difficulties getting this podcast begun. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've helped us. I thank you, Lord. As Samuel said, named a stone Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And so, Lord, I just pray and I appreciate what you've done. Now, Lord, I need your help today in this broadcast, in recording this. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord God, to record something that will be both broadcast appropriate as well as podcasting appropriate. Those are two different mediums. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'd help in those things. Give me the right words to say and keep the wrong words far away from my lips according to your will. For it's in Jesus' name and for his sake I do pray. Amen and amen. All right, let's get into the scripture today here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. 1 Chronicles chapter number 15. We're going to begin reading with verse number 14. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psalteries and harps and cymbals sounding, by lifting up the voice with joy. So the Levites appointed Heman the son of Joel, and of his brethren Asaph the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari their brethren, Ethan the son of Cushaiah, and with them their brethren of the second degree, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaaziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, Eliab, and Benaiah, and Maaseiah, and Mattathiah, and Eliphala, and Micneah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, the porters. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. And Zechariah, and Aziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, and Eliab, and Maaseiah, and Benaiah, with psalteries on Alamoth. And Mattathiah, and Eliphala, and Micneiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jehiel, and Azaziah, with harps on the Sheminith to excel. And Kenaiah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song, because he was skillful. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the ark. And Shebaniah, and Jehoshaphat, and Nathaniel, and Amasai, and Zechariah, and Benaiah, and Eliezer, the priests, did blow the trumpets before the ark of God. And Obed-Edom and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the ark. All right, we're going to stop there. This is an interesting topic here that we're looking into. And I encourage you to look up some of the meaning of these terms. There's a lot of musical terms here used. There's musical instruments, but it's certain types of musical instruments. Psalteries upon Alamoth. And then upon Sheminith to excel. And these are musical instructions. Now, if you go into the book of Psalms, you'll find that there's a lot of musical instructions. The most common of those is the word Selah. Now, many years ago, here at the Macedonia Baptist Church, We had a preacher, Brother Tommy Hayes, out of Pickens, South Carolina, came and preached a series of messages for us. And he was preaching one of his messages in the book of Psalms. This was in the mid-90s. So it's been, you know, nearly 30 years ago at this point. But he was preaching in the book of Psalms, and he came across the word Selah. He said, you know, Bible scholars don't really know exactly what this word means. It's some sort of musical instruction. Maybe it's a musical interlude. Maybe it's whatever. He says, but I like to think of it this way. This word Selah is an opportunity as you read the Psalms to look back at what you've just read and say to yourself, well, how about that? And that stuck with me. That has really stuck with me over the years. And so whenever I preach out of the book of Psalms and come across this word Selah, that's the way I usually explain it is, you know, when you read it. But we have to remember the Psalms were intended to be sung. This is the song book, the hymn book. It's divided into five basic sections. And we're not going to go over that today, but it is divided into five basic sections. And there's some very specific musical notations given in these. And we're not going to go over all of them. We're going to go over the ones that are listed here. Sheminith and Alamoth. Now, Sheminith probably means just stringed instrument. It's a particular type of stringing, a particular type of tuning maybe. You know, there's a very common guitar tuning called the Nashville tuning. And the Nashville tuning is take a regular guitar and the lower four strings, the E, A, D, and G strings, the lower pitches, that's the upper strings as you look down on the guitar playing it, the heavier strings, they're tuned up an octave. And so they're much thinner strings. But the two bottom strings, the B and the E, are left as normal. And because they're thinner strings, it's still tuned to the same tension, and the guitar's under the same tension it would be with the bigger strings. It's just a higher pitch. It's an octave higher. And so you take that particular type of guitar tuned that way and mix it in with regular guitars, and it sounds like you have some 12-string guitars. And I think of the 12-string guitar, and there's a couple of different people I think of when I think of 12 strings. Bill Lance is the first one that comes to mind because he always played that 12-string. And it had a very unique sound because of that, the fundamental note of the guitar, but it had two strings per note. And the second string on each note was an octave higher. And so that gave it a much fuller sound, a higher pitch sound, but at the same time, the low pitch. And so the Nashville tuning guitar is used to give a piece of music a 12-string type sound without actually having a 12-string. And so you can, that way the higher strung guitar can play a different line or maybe a different chord pattern even, and it gives it a much fuller sound. It's one of the tricks of the trade for certain types of music mixing. And, you know, the same thing's true in other music, you know, in gospel music, you can have different tunings and different stringings of banjos and violins. There's more than one kind of bass. I play a 5-string bass myself, and that adds a low B to the bass, and I like that. I like that deeper rumble that you can get from the low B. And it also means that if you're playing in the key of F, which is very, very common, or in the key of E flat, which is very, very common, you have a lower note to go to. And instead of being bottomed out at the E and in the key of F, it's all the way at the end of the fretboard. And, you know, sometimes you don't want to, sometimes your fingers don't want to go all the way to the end of the fretboard. But the fifth string to me makes the instrument far more regular to play. Regular meaning no matter what key you're playing in, you can play pretty much the same patterns and the same scales and runs and whatnot that you're playing. It's just in a different position on the fretboard. and you can play it any key pretty much in the same position. Whereas with the four string, you have to change around between a couple of different positions depending on what key you're in. And so that's why I like the five string. But it sounds different. It plays different. It's got a different feel to it than a four string. It really does. And then, of course, there's doghouse basses. There's acoustic bass guitars, which have a different tone. They have a different sound than an upright bass does. There's different types of banjos. I mean, you can go to a Gibson Mastertone, and that sounds different from a Fender. You did realize Fender made banjos, right? I have one. I have a Fender banjo, and it does not sound at all like a Gibson Mastertone. They have a different sound. And so the musical instruction upon Shimoneth to excel is talking about a particular tuning, perhaps. Maybe it's talking about the type of strings that it has, perhaps. Or maybe it's the type of picking. You know, there's finger-picked guitar. There's flat-picked guitar. There's cross-picking, which is a mixture of techniques. I tend to flat pick with a heavy gauge pick. That's the other side of it. You have different size picks. You have different thicknesses. But this is a very specific musical instruction upon Shimoneth to excel. And I believe that to excel means you want maximum volume. And for me, at least, that means a heavy pick with medium gauge strings and strumming the daylights out of the thing. I remember one time at Macedonia, we had a revival meeting, and I was doing a special song for the revival meeting, and I had just put new strings on the guitar. And back in that day, I played a lot harder than I do now. I've learned that you don't have to absolutely play the fire out of the strings to get good volume. But I shared down on the first chord of the song and broke two strings. Immediately broke two strings. And so I had to play with a four-string guitar. And, of course, the two strings were right next to each other. So that made everything sound really strange. And so that didn't work out too well. But that's typically what I do. These days I play a medium thickness, a medium heavy pick, and steel medium strings. Because I do strum pretty hard when I play the sixth string. Most of the time I play bass. But these musical notations, musical instruments, the fact that they had several different kinds, and the fact that they're called out, and the fact that you have fewer cymbal players than you have stringed instrument players. It's like somebody's thinking about, okay, how can we make sure that the psalteries on Alamoth are not drowned out by the harps on Shimoneth and the cymbals and the trumpets, because the priests are blowing the trumpets. And so you have trumpets and harps and psalteries and cymbals. Now, that's more than one kind of stringed instrument. And so that's kind of like a bluegrass band, you know. You have a gospel bluegrass band. You'll have the violin. You'll have the mandolin. You'll have the guitar, maybe more than one guitar. You'll have the banjo, and you'll have a bass. A lot of the purists will not allow any bass but an upright, and I understand that. That's fine. I play the electric for several reasons. Number one, that's all I could afford when I bought my bass back in 1992, and I've not been able to afford an upright since. I would love to be able to play an upright, but transporting it and all that is much more difficult than transporting an electric with a small amplifier. And the Lord's blessed me with a small Fender amplifier that does a good enough job. It does a good enough job, and I like the feel of my five-string bass. A five-string upright is a much more bulky instrument and much more difficult to play, and you need longer fingers. And that's my other problem, is I got short fingers. So it's a different kind. But you need all these different stringed instruments to get the full tone. To get the full bluegrass experience, you need a fiddle and a fiddle. I think I read somewhere where somebody said a violin has strings, a fiddle has strings. I don't know about that, but they are different. A violin and a fiddle are not the same. Now, a violin can be played like a fiddle, and a fiddle can be played like a violin, but there are some differences between the two. And so, but you take the violin or fiddle, either one, and that allows you to have sustained notes because it's a bowed instrument. It's not a plucked instrument, it's a bowed instrument. And so you can have sustains with that. And that works really well with slow songs. It works well with fast ones too, depending on how good your bow technique is. But the main thing about the bowed instrument class is that you can have sustain. Plucked instruments, not so much. And of course, there's hammered instruments like the hammered dulcimer, which is like a piano. A piano is a stringed instrument, and the strings are hammered instead of plucked. The harpsichord is the equivalent with a plucked string as opposed to a hammered string. Now, you can play a guitar, at least an electric guitar, with a hammer technique with your fingers. It's called tapping. And you can tap the string and make notes. And that's typically only used for an electric because you can't tap an acoustic hard enough to be able to get that kind of volume. But hammered dulcimer, on the other hand, is designed for it. And so you can hammer the string on the dulcimer, and then that does what it's supposed to do. There are other stringed instruments. You know, there's the little auto harp type instrument with the keys that allow you to do chords with the harp type sound. There are other stringed instruments like that. The point I'm making is because psalteries and harps are different instruments. It's like a guitar or a mandolin versus a violin. That's the best analogy. A mandolin is tuned the same as a violin, but it has different kinds of strings. The acoustics of the mandolin body are different from the violin body. The method of playing is very different. The mandolin is a very choppy instrument. It's designed to play very fast arpeggios or the mandolin chop. And the mandolin chop typically is on the offbeat. The bass will hit on the beat, and the mandolin will hit on the offbeat. And the two of them together control the rhythm of the song. And then, of course, the banjo, which has a much better sustain, fills in with rolls, which is a arpeggio, is what that is. Fills in with rolls. And the guitar typically fills in with lead. And that's the makeup of a typical bluegrass gospel band. Well, here we have a band. We have trumpets. We have cymbals. We have psalteries. And we have harps. And again, we're not 100% sure what these instruments actually look like. They were made out of wood, and wood doesn't last for the centuries. And there's a lot of controversy over what a psaltery versus a harp might have been. A psaltery might have been more like a guitar. You know, guitar is an older instrument than the piano. The guitar, the Spanish guitar, was invented from the lute family. And so the lute family and the violin family and the harp family are three major classes of stringed instruments. The lute and the violin came from the psaltery. And the harp, of course, the lyre, L-Y-R-E, and the harp are different and multiple strings, whereas the psaltery, the violin class, the viols, and then the lutes and the lute-derived instruments, which include mandolin and banjo and guitar, they're all derived from those. Those are played differently, and you actually move your fingers on the fretboard, Whereas with a harp, you pick a different string. And that's the main difference between the types of stringed instruments, is whether you stop the string to change its pitch or you pick a different string to change the pitch. And so these instruments together made up the chorus of instruments for this. And certain people were put in charge of certain ones. And this man, Kenaniah, was put in charge of the whole shooting match as the conductor, I guess you'd say it, because he was very skillful. Now, I like that. I like the statement that's made here in the Word of God where it says he was very skillful. It was recognized that people get put into positions sometimes because they're the ones that can do the position. And they're not appointed necessarily. They kind of work their way into it. And that's okay because of their talent. You know, not everybody in the church can play the piano. There are some that are very skillful and they play the piano. And there's some that are skillful in leading the singing. They can keep time well enough. And they can conduct singing. And that's what Kenaniah was. That's where his position was. We've got all the positions of a modern day orchestra with chorus. Strings of two different types. Wind with the trumpets. And percussion with the cymbals. And this is the way the ark's going to be brought in. And David's going to write a song specifically for the occasion. And the song comes up here in this chapter. David writes a special song for this occasion. And so notice how it all works together. This is a great type of the body of Christ where different people have different roles. Not everybody plays cymbals. Not everybody can sing. But you can do what you can do. Maybe you can play guitar. Maybe you can't. Maybe you can play piano. Maybe you can't. You know, whatever God has given you skill to do and called you to do, is what you ought to do in the church, in the body of Christ. You've been listening to I Want to Know More, a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. For any and all correspondence, please interact through the podcast website, www.lamarowen.net, or you can send physical mail to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, that's P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, two words, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And be sure to come back next week for next week's podcast.